Get started here. Is everybody present? Are we all here? Looks like most of us are present, I think. I'm very blessed with this Bible school. I'm blessed with the honorable relationship that you students have with these principals, with the administration here, the Bible school, with your teachers. It's a beautiful thing to see, the respectful attitude. You've asked some questions. Some of them are controversial. You've done it with a very beautiful heart. And I just am blessed with what we find here. And as you know by this time, you're old enough in life. Some of you are in your 20s. Some of you are in your teens. But you've lived long enough to know that there's some things that have to do with the Christian life and with understanding of God's Word that might be well understood in more than just one way. I'll just give you an illustration of that in case there's a preacher sitting here that is scared about what I'm going to say next. We were working with a group of Christians in Latin America. They were coming to some of our ministers' meetings, coming to our Bible institutes. Their church group was represented in our activities, and they found out that we viewed some aspects of marriage and some marriage complications somewhat differently than what they did, and they thought we were heretical. They felt that our views there in Costa Rica were not right. And they decided they were going to completely disfellowship us and not have any further contact with our churches and not allow their young people to come to our Bible school anymore. They got very dogmatic on this, and I went to one of their bishops and said, "We can't do this. Let's get on our knees and pray about it and talk about it." So they invited us to the country where their churches were. Our Latin American ministers came there. We had a several-day conference. We discussed this subject together. And about the last day of the meeting, I was sitting in the very back there where Brother Dan is. And the presiding elder of the church group that was opposing us was sitting here in the very front. And he, I have a Bible, and he had one of those things where all the information in the world is there in your hand. And if I would try to quote a scripture, he was on there. And if I would give a Greek definition of a word, he was on his machine. And I was doing it by memory, and he had his machine. And he stood up here and looked back at me and said, "Brother Dale, may I ask you a question?" He told me to turn to a certain verse in the Bible and explain it as a Spanish reader, a Spanish preacher would understand that verse, and I did. And then he made a very interesting statement. He said, "I can see," he said this to in front of his people, he said in English because he talks English, and the rest of his preachers we brought there were all Spanish, but his preachers were all English. He said this comment in English. He said, "Brothers, I understand why these other brothers see this different than we do. If you hear how it sounds in their Spanish Bible, I can see why it comes through to them like it does." And we left there with perfect peace. They still come to our Bible school. They still come to our ministers' meeting. They still invite us to come to their churches to preach when we're in their country. And it turned out very, very beautiful up till now. In Russia, for years, many of the Christian ladies that were single did not wear veilings on their heads, though they believed strongly in the Christian woman's veiling, but the Russian Bible says wife instead of woman. In 1 Corinthians 11. So I think there are times when we must understand that there might be a degree of variation. And there are those Russian brothers who believe in the veiling just like you do in Liberty, Kentucky. But the practice was somewhat different because of the way their wording was. And no one was there to tell them that they had the wrong wording. Your Bible is wrong. No one told them that. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so it is with some of these things right here. Our Spanish Bible says something quite different from what yours does in Revelation chapter 14, verse 2. Your English Bible says that That sound that he heard coming out of that multitude of worshipers in heaven, it sounded like. And your Bible says as. And then it says it sounded as and gives another metaphor. And then it says that they were harping on their harps. But the Spanish Bible uses as three times, not two times. Or like unto. Three times, not two times. Like unto that mighty noise. Like unto that. And like harping on the harps. There's no harp playing in the Spanish language in Revelation chapter 14, verse 2, like there is in your English Bible. And so we could, that happens time and time again. And for that reason, we have to allow a little space for each other. We have to understand that our hearts are Godward and our hearts are spiritual, and we want a godly resolution to what we're looking at. And so we must make room sometimes for a little difference there, be it culture, be it background, be it language, be it what it is. And yet the Lord says, out of every kindred, tongue, and tribe, and nation, and I expect to find that when I get there, and I invite you to join us on that day. So can we leave it like that? Now, I want to have a word of prayer here before I go, Father. Dear Father, we have a lot to do today, and we have precious students that need these directions, and they are eagerly waiting to hear what would come. They want to learn and they want to know. And for some of us, these are new things. And for some of us, we're not quite sure how it should all work out in daily life. And we have our Heavenly Father, and we have a beautiful word from the Lord. And we have hearts that are tuned to you. And we have a Spirit of God that can guide us in decisions where details and formulas cannot give us the direction we need always. And that's why we have you, dear God. And that's why we'll walk with you. And that's why we'll learn to identify your heart. We ask you to teach us in this class today and give us reverent thoughts and give us carefulness about what we say concerning somebody that might have a different application or understanding. And help us, Father, to edify each other and everyone that's here today and to trample no one's toes and make no one feel small in our presence and make no one feel inferior, unwanted, or needed. And make no one feel that they're not included in this beautiful Bible school at Bern this week. Bless us together this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to make a few comments about last night's discussion you had up here with these three brothers concerning happy birthday, the song or the singing of a happy birthday song. We noticed that Jesus last night was at a wedding. I would suppose that he would have had no objection going to the first, second, or fifth wedding anniversary of that same couple that got married. I wouldn't doubt if they would have a child, he would not have minded bringing maybe a pair of booties or a chocolate candy bar or something to that child as a gift. Just the Lord Jesus that I know, I don't think he had any trouble. I think he'd take a child in his hands and bless it, and he would have taken good care of that child. And I'd like to give all my five children to him to do the same thing. But if you're singing happy birthday to you, may the good Lord bless you. Have you ever sing that song? That song will bless the person you're singing it to. It'll bless the God of heaven that's being addressed in that song. And if you bless the Lord and bless that family, you're perfectly in harmony with what God wants you to do in this life. And that's something that, as you noticed, I did not think to say last night, so I'm saying it now. I want to say one more thing. And this next comment will include the majority of the questions that I was asked there, but I'm going to put this to you and keep, like they say, keep your feet to the fire. I'm not going to let you escape this one. This one here is going to have to go my way. You understand me? This one here, I don't give you any room to wiggle on this one. And you're going to have to agree with this one. Are you ready to go? And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. I cannot let you wiggle there. You don't have your playground there where you can make your own ground rules on that one. Nor do I. Whatever you do, it must glorify God. Or what are you doing it for? And that doesn't mean that you can't sell a load of pallets at the yard someplace where you're selling your pallets. Now you can do that, but do it to the glory of God. And that doesn't mean you can't plant a nice rose bush out in front of your house. And it looks pretty when the roses come out. Do it to the glory of God and not to emulate yourself. I planted very few roses in my lifetime. But one day we bought a little bush to plant the roses. It planted right there in the corner of the house. It looked kind of nice there. It didn't have any flowers on it. And it started to grow. It took a hold and started to grow, this little rose bush. And then I got one of the worst sicknesses I've ever had in my life, and I was nearly gone. I was very close to death, heart beating 200 times a minute. It was a terrible physical problem. I was in bed. I could not get out of bed. I could not move. I could not move my head from one side to the other. I could not lift up my hands. I could not speak. That's how close it was. And my daughter came in there one day. I could see. My daughter came in there and she had a little vase. And she had a beautiful rose in that vase. That was the first flower that rose bush produced. And it was lying sitting beside my bed on a table. And so, plant a rose bush, but plant it for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do. So it just says, keep that in mind right there. I think we will leave that. There was some beautiful questions, some very intelligent questions, worthwhile questions asked about musical instruments. I don't know if we're going to have more time to talk about that on Friday or not, but right now we don't need to worry about it. I'd like you to open your hymn book again. We sang it yesterday to number 31. I'd like to sing this song again, then talk about it. And we're going to say a few more things about this song tomorrow. But what I'm doing yesterday and today is preparing you for tomorrow's class. So that's what yesterday is to do, and that's what today is to do. Prepare you for tomorrow's class. So let's stand and sing this song. It's awful hard to sit down and sing the Hallelujah Chorus. You know what I mean? And so let's stand and sing this. Do, mi, do. Ready, girls? For the praise of God is our prayer, and such is wrought with fear. With all his soul, his mind, he blessed, and all the earth shall hear. Lift up your voice, sing loud your song. Brother John D. put this songbook together, and he and I have talked a lot about music over the years. He wanted to do what the title of this book says. He wanted to put together a hymnal for the church. Now, the Bible talks about Psalms, Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We might have a chance to look at those two verses, Ephesians and Colossians, on Friday morning or Friday afternoon. I'm not sure if we'll have time for that or not. He's aware that the Bible makes room for that kind of music or that kind of song. He included in his book several songs with what he would call lilting tunes. And you notice that he put the words together with this. The music was written by somebody else. He put the words to this music that you have here from George Root's David the Shepherd Boy oratorio. And a lilting tune. What is a lilting tune? Yes, well, a lilting tune, maybe just slightly catchy, you know, just a bit more exciting. It has musical runs to it. Some are ascending, some are descending, musical phrases that move you along real quickly. It's a that tune might have in it some somewhat unexpected musical variations. I could show you some of these things that I'm talking about in this song. La 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 la. That's not quite the same as singing when Acevedo under the cross. Or you have another one here. Listen to this. There's something that comes up here that you don't expect in the song. Let all creation wide and broad will join with the sons of men. La, 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 la. That was in there. It's the only place in the song that's in there. But there it is. Then you have this, and it's the same song that you're trying to practice there with the tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock that you've got going on here in chorus. That song there takes these sopranos and they have to put a sticky paper on top of the page to put the notes up there so they get up high enough. Because it goes off the staff about that much farther. And this song here does not go up that high. But obviously when a song ends at that kind of decibels and at that kind of vibrations, it has a different effect from if that would have been a low do instead of a high do, right? So you begin to see how this works. It's a lilting tune. And when it comes to music that is exciting or soulish or stimulating to the person, to the body even, when you move into that kind of music, you're coming close to a line. You came this far, and you can keep on going. Did you follow that? What I'm trying to tell you here, and this song here, the tune, the melody, or the harmony would come pretty close to. It comes pretty close. I accept this song. I approve it that John put it in here. We sing this song in Costa Rica in Spanish. That's why it's a little bit hard for me to lead it in English, because we sing this one in Spanish. And it's very beautiful in Spanish. I like the Spanish words much better than these, but this is what we have here. And we're calling it a lilting tune. Is that okay? We'll pick up more on that tomorrow, but I'm introducing an idea here. And the point is that this kind of music is different from the other songs we've been singing in this assembly here during this class, from the other book that you have there. It's very, very different. The music is very, very different. And it leaves you very, very different. The effect that it has on you when it's all over is very different. And when you must ask yourself, we'll have this again tomorrow, you must ask yourself, what effect does this music have on me? Now, this might raise some questions with you. You might say, well, Brother Dale, should we sing this song or not? I would say this, sing it and enjoy it. Don't make it your only diet. I mean, the person that can appreciate this song and can appreciate the one we're singing here, we'll get along okay. But I would encourage you to realize, and John knows it, if anyone knows it, and I'll be telling you more about that part of it tomorrow, but we can say more about this song. For right now, that's enough to introduce it, the idea. But there is a margin, there is a line, and this song moves us towards that line. Did you follow me there? Is that okay if I say that? Yeah, it's a blessing, brothers. Open your folder there to number 153. Do, do, so. 153. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host. Redeemed by blood. We've seen that in the book of Revelation. So, on Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host, redeemed by blood. They give their strength divine. I heard the line there. You have it by now? They got that to you? Thank you. Thank you, brother. Using the tripartite man with spirit, soul, and body, as we have in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it has already been noted that the words of a spiritual song or hymn can minister to the spirit, possibly including with that an appropriate melody. The harmonious chording of tones can appeal to the soul, whereas the rhythm or pulse or beat of a musical arrangement can affect the body. This may be especially true when there's heavy pulsation and accompanying syncopation. Music that pleases God is carefully and solidly written so that it does not overly excite the emotions nor stimulate the body. Syncopation is what is done in music, and we'll look at this tomorrow, but it's what's done in music to make an abnormal or unexpected change in the pulsation of the progression of the song. You come along here and you have a pulse, a heavier pulse than we usually see. We said there the other day that that's at the beginning of a compass, or the beginning of a measure, you would say in your language. And that's usually the first beat. And that's why when a song leader is leading singing with his hand, he should learn to always, on the first beat inside the measure, be bringing his hand down. Some songs, we sang some here today, the first note of that song is not inside a measure. And so there's two ways the songwriter can do that. He can teach the congregation or the group he's leading to learn to pick up that first note with an upward pulse so that the next beat down is the first one inside that measure. Or he can teach his congregation to do this. Start with that down, then come back down again for that one inside. And then from there on, the music flows according to the bit time signatures written there. But a syncopation changes where that pulse comes. It's an unexpected change. And of course, whoever writes that music that way has a purpose for doing that. Syncopation, we have it here. I talked to you someone about this lilting business, so we're finished with that. We can move on down through to the new lesson here. A divine creation again. And there's reference here in James 1:17. I'm going to read that to you and make a brief comment about this verse. Music is a divine creation. It says here, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, including the voice you have as girls, according to the voice you have as boys, men. And I didn't say that to it, but we can add that to it. You already know this. But I don't know who the lowest voice singer is over here. I don't know. You got some basses up here. I heard that. But I don't know which one sings lower. I can sing low, but I don't like to. I like to sing, I like the higher notes. But I really have a low voice. I don't really have a high voice. But I like the higher notes better. So I sing tenor usually. But take the lowest voice we have, and I don't know who it is, but you just stand up here, because I don't know what kind of voice you've got. You just stand up, I'll use you for example. If this boy right here, man, would have the lowest voice in the church, it wasn't always that way, because he talked like that. And so he has a real low voice now, but it was like that one day. And he talked to his mom just like his sister did. You understand that? And something happens to a man's voice. Along with other changes that take place on a man's body, that was one of them. And then for a while in his life, for about 3 to 6 months, he was talking like this. And he went, I got there. And sometimes he was up and down. And he was embarrassed. So he was in school at that time, and the teacher tried to ask him to sing a song, and he sat there and quietly his head down. Because he felt bad about it. And a wise teacher would have known what to do, and the other one bawled him out. And it wasn't his fault. He is doing what God gave him to create him to do. And then that voice gets down lower. And after all, that top stuff doesn't come out anymore. It stays down there. This is part of God's plan. It's a good and perfect gift. And he cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is their variables, neither shadow of turning. So what's it say here in your outline? Music is a gift from God. There is both beauty and blessing in music. Satan perverts and abuses uses the noble and useful gifts that God created, not only music. The Church of Jesus Christ is a testimony to the holy will of God in spirit, truth, and purity. The music of the church is a vital part of that testimony. We had a man in Costa Rica who was excommunicated from the church there in Mercedes for 15 years. When he was still with us, he was an outstanding man. We appreciated him to minister at our church. I could not stand it when we lost him. He could not read, but he could pray. And one day at a church service, he asked us to sing number 291. I'll never forget it. And no one in the church knew 291. He didn't know how to sing, and he didn't know how to read the music. He didn't know what it said, but he liked the words. And so he asked us to sing 291. That hymn has become a favorite in our congregation. When he was excommunicated from the church, we sang 291 time after time after time after time after time. 291, 291. One day I found out that we were in that church building there in Marseille in the town singing any song, but singing as a church, he cannot stand it to walk past the sidewalk in front of the church building. He can't stand to hear the people singing there. He doesn't know what to do when they're singing. Today he's in there singing with the rest of us. I said here it's a vital part of the testimony of the church. And I use that illustration to help emphasize this point here. Lukewarmness is the result of a mixture. Just what kind of music were they singing at Laodicea? Where they were lukewarm. A lukewarm church. What kind of music was that? And where did that music came from? And how is it like, what is it like to live with one foot here and one foot here and try to get the best of two worlds? There's no way to do that. That's miserable living. Today we continue a brief study of the elements of music. Tomorrow we need to focus on the factors that can detract and defile God's holy purpose for music. We have learned that music contains three basic parts. If there is spiritual danger in music, it is because something was intentionally done to distort one of those areas, and maybe all three of them. Let us look again at the musical scale, this time in a bit more detail. And I see that I made a mistake with what's on your paper here, because these shapes, you see that triangle there, then there's a soup bowl, then there's a diamond, then there's a flag, then there's some of an oval shaped thing there, then there's a rectangle, and then an ice cream cone, then you're back up to that triangle again, you see that? Each of those shapes have a name. And maybe you can write those names down here. The triangle is Do. And that soup bowl, that's D-O. And Ray is next, R-E. Because it's the Latin spelling or pronunciation and not English. So it's Ray and not Re. And Me is next, and that's M-I. The flag is Fa, as in F-A. And that oval-shaped thing there on the second line is Sol, S-O-L. Then you have that rectangle, which is La. That upside down, or that ice cream cone there, is T in your language. And then you're back to Do again. And that keeps on going up through there. And and that is what we call a relative scale. The Do, Re, Mi is relative because it can start on any line or any space. Home tone, the first Do, could be at any place on that staff. In this case, it starts off with C. It could be at F. It could be up there at B. It could be any place, the Do. I'm not sure how much I should take you into this, but let's try it, see what happens. The pentagram or the staff that you're looking at here shows both the absolute scale, which is the letters C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, F, G on the side there, which names the lines and the spaces. And the relative scale is the Do, Re, Mi's that you have there with those various shapes. The scale above begins with middle C. Both of them do. The absolute scale starts with a C, and the relative scale starts with Do, and they're both at the same location, the C position, middle C. They progress upwards up the scale. What would happen if the notes would have progressed downward? Well, if they would have gone downward, they would have gone down into the men's voices, down into the bass clef, down into the tenors in the basins. If we've gone down, we've gone down into them. That's what would have happened if we'd gone downward. From the diagram, it would appear that each step or interval is equal, but this is not the case. Some of those steps that you're seeing there are half steps. They're always found between the B and the C, and between the E and the F. In the example above, which is written in the key of C, the half steps are between Mi and Fa, which they always are on the relative scale, between T and Do. If you notice there, Mi and Fa, see what's going on here. See, Mi and Fa are located on E and F, so the half step in E and F is the same as the half step between Mi and Fa. And the half step between T and Do is between B and C, and there's a half step there. And so everything works out perfectly. The half steps on the relative scale are the same as the half steps on the absolute scale. But that doesn't always happen that way. It doesn't always go quite that way. We'll just take a look at that. And as we're doing that, we're going to sing this scale just to refresh our memories and get our voices together. And we're going to do some exercises here. Let's see how this goes. Do, sing the scale, and let's take it from the Do down there in middle C all the way to that top So. Are you ready? Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol. Very, very good. Let's sing the same scale again, but this time instead of singing those steps that we took, 8 steps an octave, let's put 12 notes to the octave instead of 8. So it sounds like this. It's Do, D. See it there written for you on number 2? Do, D, Re, Re, Mi, Fa. After Fa is Fi, then Sol, then Si, then La, then Li. Then T and Do. And we know there's only half step between T and Do, and there's half a step between Mi and Fa. But the way this is written here, there are half steps the whole way up through. I wonder if we can do that. Let's try it. Do. Do. I made a mistake someplace and I don't know where it is, but that was not right. So these are half steps, just little steps at a time, and we found out yesterday that some ears can hear as many as 50 different notes between there, and we had trouble there. I did, just singing 12. And so what's the matter with me here? You want to try it again? Do, mi, so, do, do. Do, di, re, re, mi, fa, fi, sol, si, la, li, ti, do. And that time it was right. Remember that not all systems of music have 12 tones to their scale. When we sing or use the scale with those 12 tones, we call that the chromatic scale, which means a scale in full color. Chrome meaning, of course, in Latin, color. Something as chromatic as colorful, the scale in full color. But what happens if the scale would begin on G instead of on C? The home tone would then be at the G location, as you see it on this diagram below you here, instead of at C. And the problem that we have here is that we need this diagram for the paragraph that follows on the back of the page. And so you might have to flip back and forth there because we need this diagram that we have there at the bottom of this page in order to explain what we have up here. Let me see if I can take you down through there. The relative scale, that's the Do, Re, Mi scale. That's the scale that can start any place on the staff. That's not the ABCs because they always stay permanent on those lines and spaces where they are. The relative scale always needs a half step between Mi and Fa, and between T and Do. We learned that. In this example, Me is on B, and Tha is on C, where there is a half step on the absolute scale and half step on the relative scale, so we're fine there. And then, if you look at that picture back there, La, that's the triangle, is on E, and T, the ice cream cone, is on F. And between La and T, there must be a full step, but between E and F, there's only a half step. So we got a problem. We need a full step there and only have a half step. So what we do is we take that F, which is a Fa, and we turn it into a Fi by raising it half a step. And that's why that strange little sign is there on that line, F line. It's called a sharp sign, which raises the tone a half a step. And when we put raise F a half a step, we do two good things for this song in the key of G. We give a full space between the La and the T, which we have to have, and raising the F a half step gives us then only a half step between T and Do, which we have to have. Because normally, between F and G, there's a full step. And so now we raise the F to, from a Fa, from an F to, yes, from an F to an F sharp, and so now we are a full step between E and F sharp, and only half step between F sharp and G. And so now we're good to go. Now, if you have a pitch pipe, these boys came up with pitch pipes yesterday, and you girls might not have one. But you see, this pitch pipe has a D right there, a D sharp there, which is a half step higher. Here's an E, half step higher yet, but there's no E sharp. And there's no F flat, because E sharp is the same as F, because it's only half step between there. That same thing happens then between the B and the C. So if you boys didn't notice that, please see that on your pitch pipes. Then we can take you into songbooks here and show you songs, and I'm going to try to save some time here by not doing that right now. But you can look at some of these songs in the songbook like it tells you here in this paragraph, and you can see how those songs have some sharps there or a flat to straighten out this music and get it in harmony, the relative scale with the absolute scale. That explains why we have sharps and flats in our songbook, why some notes are sharped, some notes are flatted, so that the relative scale fits in rightly. And one of the interesting things I used to like to do in school was I like to start on the staff here. I like to start with a D flat and have the students go up to that D flat and put all the half steps where they need to be and all the full steps where they need to be, and you end up with a lot of sharps or flats over there on that end there because you have to flat almost, well, what is it, about six different lines you must flat in order to get that to come out right. It's a very interesting study. We're not going to do that today here, but I'd like to do some other things real quickly if I can have your attention. I want to go back and review something we did yesterday and then take it a step further than we went yesterday. Do you remember that we went from Do to Do, and while we did that, somebody else was going from Mi to Mi, and somebody else was going from So to So. Do you remember that? We did that? I'd like to do that again. And so I'm going to have the boys here going from Do to Do. That back half, wherever that line was drawn there, that back half of girls, you go from Mi to Mi, and the girls up front here will go to from So to So. But let's just do it this way first. Are you ready to go? Is everyone ready there? Seatbelt securely fastened? Do. And we'll all sing the same thing here. Sing from Do up. Do. Do. Re. Mi. Fa. So. La. Ti. Do. Mi. Mi. Fa. So. La. Ti. Do. Re. Mi. Do. So. Mi. Mi. Do. Mi. So. Everybody. So. Parts. Boys here, men, the girls in the back, and start on B and Do here. or so here. Do. And everybody on la. 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 Ready? Help those girls, because I can't hear them. So I'm going back there and help them, and we're going to do this again. Do, la, la, la. I saw that there was a problem yesterday. I'm going to solve that problem right now by asking you to turn in this songbook to number 876. Some of the students here yesterday, not their fault, they didn't know the words of this song by memory, so they couldn't help us to sing it. How do we remember that little ditty we did yesterday, Praise to God, Immortal Praise? Praise to God, immortal praise, for the love that crowns our days, bounteous source of every joy. Do you remember it? Let thy praise our tongues employ. And so we're going to have these girls divided, 1, 2, as we did yesterday, 3, 4. And let's just everyone sing that together, and then we'll jump into those parts. Do, praise to Do, everybody on unison here. Ready? Praise to God, immortal praise, for the love that crowns our days, bounteous source of every joy. Let thy praise our tongues employ. Girls in the front. Praise to
God, immortal praise.
Praise to God, immortal praise. Praise to God, immortal praise. Praise to God, immortal praise. Try this. We're going to start here. We're going to start here and sing this line right here. We go from a do to a la to a so to a la to a so. Then we're going to add this. Then we'll add this. And then we'll add this. And so to start off, we'll sing the syllables that are here. That'll be a do, la, so, la, so. And we'll do it this way. Do. And Let's see here if I can get away with that.
Do.
Do. Okay, we'll do it this way. Do. Do. La. So. La. So. Again. Do.
La. So. La. So.
And one of the intervals that's very important to learn in music is that Do. La interval. It's a very important interval. A do la interval. Do, do la, do la, do la, so la, so. One more time.
Do la, so la, so.
Do.
Do re mi fa mi.
Girls, you're singing here. Boys, you're singing here and singing on la. Do, la, so, do, mi, do, re, mi, do.
La, la, so, la, so.
Listen to those girls when you're singing. Listen to those boys when you're singing. Do, do, listen. Everybody, do mi, mi, fa, sol, si, do. This here is a step and a half between there. Excuse me. Yes, because we're missing a la here. It's two steps. Mi, are you ready again? Notice that that is not a la there, that's a T. Okay, you got that straight? Do mi. Mi, fa, so, ti, do. Boys only. Do, do. Do, do, so. Can you do this?
So,
fa, mi, re, do. Way down there. What do we have between here and here? Two octaves. Two octaves. Let's see here if I can do something for you. I'm going to do something for you here real quickly to make this easier. Well, it won't change anything, but it'll make it easier. Won't change anything in the music. Yeah, this will change something in the music. I'm sorry, this will change something. Too bad, really. Okay, I'll accept it. Let's try it and see what this does. Boys, right here. Do, 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 so, do, so, so, fa, mi, fa, so. Everybody, right here. Do, do, do. Going to do is the sopranos that are sitting in here, sing this. The altos that are sitting in here, sing this. Everybody on la. The tenors, sing this on la. The basses, sing this on la. You ready to go? Everybody? Do, do, mi, do, so, do, mi. Ready? La, la. stronger with more ears involved. They involve your ears a bit more. Listen. Do, do, mi, do, so, la. Now this, again, ready? Do, do, so, do, mi, do. And that, we changed something that we didn't fix, but that's good enough. We got the idea. There's several questions there that I can't ask you now because we changed that arrangement to get up a little bit higher, so I can't take you there. We'll talk about rhythm here. Well, before that, on the second page, the back page number 2, when the music is written in a minor scale, the nature of the scale changes in at least 2 ways. Instead of starting on do, that song will probably start on la and end on la, so that your scale goes from la to la. And if you want to sing that scale, it sounds something like this. Do, la, la, ti, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. Goes from la to la. And it can go down as well as up. Now, notice number 2. The half steps fall at different places from the model that we have of the major scale. And we will not enter into that study of where those half steps are for several reasons. Pay attention here. One of them is that there are at least 3 or more ways to write a minor scale, so that the half steps might be at different places. So I don't want to take a lot of your time to bother you with that. But working with minors is a very interesting thing. Let us simply say that if a hymn begins or ends in a la, it probably is written in a minor scale. And take this songbook and turn to 117, so that you have an example of that. This song does not go from do to do. It goes from la to la. Let's sing the first verse of this song. Now, listen to what happens here. Do, do, la, do, la, mi, la. Where are the altos here? Do, la, to sopranos and mi. Are you people back there? Great God, how infinite. Raise your hand. Tenors, let's do this. We get the end of that song. And pay their praise to thee. You're going to sing this. And pay their praise to thee. You got that? And then you'll see what happens if you do that. Do, la, first verse again. Do, la, mi. Back there, girlies. Do, la, mi. Great God, how infinite art thou. How poor and weak are we. Let the whole race of creatures bow. Went from minor to major. Now, we do something else with this. How many of you know the tune, which is called Old Hundred? It's sometimes called the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's sing that song. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Everybody? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Song there in F, and we sang a major chord, and we sang it in a major as a major tune. We can take that same song and sing it as a minor. It sounds like this. I'll sing it for you once, then we'll all sing it. Do ti do ti la. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Could you tell the difference? We sang the exact same song. And not only can you do that, but you can take a minor and turn it into a major and sing that too. We could take this great God all infinite that we just sang, and with that little twist where those half notes, half tones come in there, or half steps, we can turn that into a major. I don't know if I want to take any more of your time on that, but it's an interesting study. You can do a lot of interesting things with music. I want you to be acquainted with some of these things. That's very, very pretty. That minor, singing that doxology as a minor, is a beautiful thing. And then, of course, you can do that in four parts in minor like you did in four parts in major. You understand that? And so you can practice that. You boys get together, you practice that, do that. And if you want a little hint on how to do it, instead of blowing an F to sing in a major, you blow an A flat and bring that do down to la, like this. Do, do, ti, la. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Have that? That way you can do it, practice yourself, and learn the four parts. And see if you can talk John Hilty into it. Okay. Number three. Rhythm. Is the way the music composition moves or progresses. Again, this can get quite detailed, but we will limit this to some very, very basic things. We notice that one of the qualities or characteristics of a tone is duration. Some are held out longer or sustained longer than others. And this brother John is here trying to drill into your heads that when that half note's followed by a dot, you must count three times. Did you remember him saying that? Count three times. It doesn't have the value of a half note. It has the value of a half note and a half. It is the same as a half note and a quarter, but all in the same tone, all above that same syllable that you're pronouncing with that word at that time. And so that dotted half. So we have a whole note there. You see it pictured for you. It's around without any sticks on it. And then you have a half note, which is round but hollow. It's not closing completely back, black. And it has a stick on it. In Spanish, the black one there that follows it, the quarter note, that's called a negrita. It's called a black one. That's called the black one in Spanish. La negrita. Because it's all black. It has a stick on it. And then the eighth note is also black with a stick. It has one flag. And the 16th note is the shortest duration of all. It has two flags. And each note there is, as you come down the line from a whole to a half, each one is half the length of the one before. A quarter note is only held half as long as a half note, and so on. A 16th note, obviously, is one half of an eighth. And so those notes are there, and we have that dot behind there to show you, give you an example of how we add just a half value more to that note just to sustain that note a bit longer. And one of the things you'll find out, if you compare a song like that 31, la 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 la, and look at the size of those notes and how quickly they move, it's very, very different from the song we just sang. La 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 la. And one of the differences there is, you're using notes in Great God How Infinite, there in 117, that you hold for a longer time. I just want you to be aware of the fact that some notes are held longer than others, and it makes a difference on if a more lilting tune, obviously, is going to have more dotted notes. It's going to have more real small notes that you hold very short. And you notice that on your psalm, whatever was song there. Psalm, what is it? 24:6, something like, what song is it? Psalm 26. You notice on there that's filled with eighths and sixteenths in there. And they're trying to jerk you along as fast as they can get you to go. And that song is at least semi-lilted, just between you and I. Okay. Each musical composition has its own time signature. Now, what are we doing here? Here from the world we turn, Jesus to seek. This is, I think, number 3 in your songbook, if I'm not mistaken. The signature here is 4-4. Do you see that? Even those of you that don't understand music very well, you see there at the end of that staff, the end of that pentagram, there's a 4 on top of a 4. And that's showing us that each of those measures has 4 beats in it. And the quarter note is what gets the value of 1 beat. So that first note there on the word here from the royal return, here, that's not a quarter note. What note is that? That note gets 2 beats instead of just 1. And then get to the word world and we have a problem there. That's a quarter note, that's a negrita, but it has a dot behind it. And then the next one is a real shorty. We don't hold him very long. Then we get to the word turn, and we hold him for 2 beats. Just watch my hand and listen to me sing this. Do, are you ready? Do, here from the world we turn, Jesus to seek. How many beats was that? 4. Hold on it. No stick on it. But the altos don't hold their note 4 times. Do they? They have 2 half notes. They split it in half. They split that time in half. And so the song leader, if he's a chorus director, he'll be holding the sopranos with this hand and showing the altos where to change with the other hand. And so various songs have various time signatures, and this article here explains that. C down here tells us something about rhythm that I want you to hear before we leave, and we'll close this up for today and look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Another factor that determines rhythm is the personality or preference of the one leading the hymn or directing the music. John D. Martin leads music quite differently from the way that John Everhart did. How many of you people ever knew John Everhart or heard of him? You don't know who that was. He was extremely stately in music, and he was so concerned about meter or rhythm or pulsing or beating or speed singing that in every hymn in his book, The Christian Hymnary, he has a little number at the top of each song which he tells you how many pulses per minute that song should be sung. And he wants this very deliberately and carefully done. He doesn't want this racing through a song. He doesn't want a lot of demonstration in that singing. He wants you to sing those songs, I'll put it like this, as if you were an Anabaptist in a cave with the enemy hunting for you and you were singing a hymn. And how would you sing that? You would not do it quite like we did number 31 a while ago. Because there are things going on out there. So he looks at that from that point of view. But look, what's it say here? Rhythm has a strong effect on the overall influence of music. It is an area to watch carefully. Song leaders need to be mindful of their influence in the public worship service. That's an important sentence right there. So you take that. They're going to give you an assignment sheet. I'm very, very thankful for your attitude and attention and contribution to this class. And may God bless you for what you're doing. It's a real joy to be with you in these sessions. Now, thank you, and you have a good day.